Hello, Bonsai friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonsai, and welcome to episode 106 of Little Things for Bonsai People. It is 2025, the year of the snake, and this time I have a special guest on with me today, Rob Kempinski of, South Florida. Where are you located at?
Central Florida.
You can call it Central Florida. It's about halfway down the state.
Yeah, the Space Coast, to be more precise. Very close to Kennedy Space Center.
The Space Coast. And if you guys are familiar with Rob, he has been on our show in the past. It's been quite some time, quite a few episodes ago, but we had him on as a featured bonsai artist a little while back. But today, me and Rob are going to be talking about the BSF show, the Bonsai Societies of Florida convention. That's going to be happening in late May of this year, 2025. And we have a little bit of a unique topic pertaining to how that show is going to be presented and put together. But before we get into it, I do need to mention that our podcast is sponsored by our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/littlethingsforbonsaipeople. I just got to work a moment ago, so I'm a little fresh this morning. My coffee's starting to kick in. So you can head over to that website to become a best bud and hang out in the Discord with these amazing people and talk about bonsai all the time, every day. There's a great community in our Discord. They talk about bonsai and all the stuff that they do and all their inspirations, and they share pictures. It's a really great crowd. So we have a featured best bud for this week. It's going to be Myrick Bonsai Pottery. Thank you, Byron Myrick. He's been sponsoring the show for, I think, over 2 years now. So thank you so much for sponsoring at that level. And of course, we have our main show sponsors, Joshua Roth Tools, Bonsai Bar, and Underhill Bonsai. Then we have our specimen best buds that always get a shout out every single episode. It's going to be Unryuin in Australia. Thank you, Rick. And then Bill Butler with Bill's Bayou. Mark McWilliams, and then J. David Tolbert. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring our show at the $30 level. It's amazing. And then, of course, we can't go much further without mentioning Matt O'Donnell, our editor. He makes us sound smart. He cleans up the audio, makes us enjoyable to listen to. You can go over to mattodonnell.com and fill out a contact form to start your own podcast show with him. Or if you want to do some audio engineering stuff, he's a set bassist living in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's an all-around awesome guy. It's in the script. I say it every single time because we love you, Matt. Okay, so BSF 2025. Well, I know we've been waiting to have this conversation. I feel like there's some other details you wanted to kind of include in this episode as well about the show in particular.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
First of all, thanks for having me back.
Of course.
It's good to be back. I'm sorry that I missed you when I did my program in New Orleans last year, before that darn hurricane.
Yeah, I was really busy.
Yeah, I can imagine. What hurricane was that? And we hit so many, it's hard to keep track of them. But
yeah, it's about three.
Luckily, it wasn't as bad as everybody said. And then you just had some snow, which is kind of crazy. So
yeah, the first time in several years that it's been this thick as it was. It was about 7 inches where I'm at. But in New Orleans, that was the first time it snowed in the New Orleans area. And I think it had been like 50 something years, and it snowed up to 11 inches in some places, which is crazy.
That is a lot of snow. Wow.
Yes.
I grew up in New York, and that would be a lot of snow for New York.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of leads to a potential topic for a bonsai display, because I imagine the cold weather wreaked havoc on some collections.
I mean, I could see it if somebody feels inspired to tell that story.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I want to do is welcome you to Florida, because you're going to be one of the headliners at the Bonsai Societies of Florida show in 2025, which is great. We're really looking forward to having you.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to provide some displays for the show. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is, and I touched a little bit on our last conversation, in that to me, display is a very broad topic. Most people, when they think of display, think of putting a tree in a token omen and they're ready to go. But to me, bonsai display is much broader. And the presentation that I've been doing, I did it for New Orleans, believe it or not. And I've done it to 12 other clubs now in the state of Florida. I got two more to go, where I talk about the display of bonsai. And I start with garden display, because where do trees spend 99.99% of their time? They spend it in their garden. And if you don't have a nice spot in your garden to display trees, I think you're missing out on a great opportunity. So that's one aspect of display that a lot of people don't talk about, is how you design a garden, how you set it up for enjoyment, how you can set up like the nursery part of it and the things you do. The another aspect of display is indoor display. As I go around and do my presentations about display, I've asked everybody, and I've probably talked to over 300, I haven't really counted, maybe 400 people. And they said, how many of you have a tokonoma in your house? And no one has yet raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
There may be an occasional Japanophile, and I consider myself a Japanophile. I love Japan. I've been there 32 times, like I told you before, and love the culture, love the language, and I love bonsai too. But I don't have a tokonoma. But I do indoor display all the time. I put a tree in my on the kitchen, on the countertop. We have an island kitchen, and I every time I walk in the kitchen to get a Coke or something out of the refrigerator, I see my little tree, and I'm enjoying the tree as an indoor display. It didn't stay there forever. It comes out, and then there's other ways. And lately, some movies and TV have been featuring bonsai in Western settings. Like, have you seen the movie Dune?
Dune, I heard, I haven't seen Dune in its entirety. I've seen in chunks because I have a six-month-old, so we have to figure that out.
The very first part of the movie, Dune takes place on the movies normally takes place on a deserted or desert planet.
Yep.
But right before they go to the desert planet, they live in a planet with water, and they got two bonsai trees in the background. And there's plenty of other examples. The movie Duplicity had a fantastic white pine in it growing on a beautiful cantilever desk. So indoor display is something to think about, particularly for most of us that don't have tokonomas. A tokonoma was really, if to make kind of a funny analogy, a tokonoma was a large screen TV back to the samurai class years ago. They would use tokonomas to do seasonal display. And by the way, not always with bonsai. In fact, I would say rarely with bonsai, because not everybody in Japan does bonsai. And they would sit there, and on New Year's, they would use a pine branch and some kind of religious thing. And so display includes that. Display also includes photography. And when I do my presentation, I have taught myself how to do photography. It's kind of a funny story. When I got into bonsai 30 years ago, and I said, I need to photograph my trees, not knowing much about it, I hired a guy that was recommended as a photographer. He was a wedding photographer. He shows up my house without a tripod, with no lighting. He did have a backdrop. I'll give him credit for that. And I gave him, I think, $400, and he proceeded to take the worst pictures of a bonsai tree you can imagine. That's when I decided to learn. I needed to learn how to do it. And when I talk about display, I talk about how you take photos. And I think probably the most important thing in a good photo is lighting and a backdrop, just to summarize it. But then, of course, when we talk about display, most people think about putting trees in an exhibition. And that is also a topic of that I cover. And to get to the main topic of today's meeting, we in Bonsai Society of Florida decided to do something different. That's the theme of the convention, is let's do something different. And I volunteered to be in charge of the exhibit, mostly because I like to do things different. I work in the space program. Not many people have done what we're doing. We're breaking boundaries, frontiers every day. And I have been known to do lots of creative displays. I think we talked about some of them last time that I've talked about on my Mahogany Rose Studio Facebook page.
Yep. And so there's a something a little bit more to just something a little bit different. Because, yeah, you're alluding back to that previous episode where we're talking about utilizing things like other types of miniature arts, such as dioramas or painted miniatures, or even like we mentioned, like your brother's into war scenery, like recreating war scenes and stuff like that. But it's more than that
it's a lot more than that. Because let me start by, have you ever read Jun Moon Yamamoto's book? Jun-san Yamamoto, I think. I mispronounced his name.
What's
Jun-san
the name of it?
Yamamoto. He's a Japanese bonsai artist, display specialist.
Okay.
And he has a book called, I think it's called Beautiful Bonsai. And in it, he says something to the words to the effect, but a tree growing in the garden is not a bonsai. It doesn't become a bonsai, he says, until it is put in a container, brought indoors, and put in a tokonoma. But just putting in a tokonoma does not make it a bonsai either. It needs to be matched with a series of props. And then the Japanese word Pucky, I think is how they pronounce it. They use stones, they use scrolls or whatever, little figurines. He even says you can use little models. And then you have a bonsai, which is kind of interesting that it's not a bonsai until it's put into a display. And my take on that is, since we don't have a Tokonoma, do you have a Tokonoma, Evan?
No, I do not.
Yeah, I don't have one.
We are going to build one. Me and my wife are going to build a shed this year for my backyard.
Yeah.
And we're going to put one in that shed.
Let me tell you a quick little anecdote, okay? Because like I said, I love Japan and I studied the language. I worked with the Japanese Space Agency. And when I first got into bonsai, because I wanted to build a Japanese garden, and I found Peter Chan's book. But then over the years, now that I'm into bonsai, I decided when I built my garden in the backyard that I was going to put a gate. I have a path that goes down a little hill. It's kind of weird in Florida. I have a little hill and I have a stream with a bridge and it ends up in a gate. And I decided to kind of build a gate similar to a Shinto gate like I've seen in Japan. It's not exactly the same construction, but it's very similar, and I painted it gray. And so the lesson I took from that is, even though I've studied Japanese and enjoy it, I kind of made a misappropriation of the Japanese culture by setting up a Shinto gate.
Interesting.
Yeah, when a lot of us build a Tokonoma and try to replicate Japanese culture, we are going to make mistakes unless we really study. A friend of mine, Dave Williams, and I built what we call the Tokonoma for the 2002 BCI/Bonsai Societies of Florida Convention, 2002, yeah. We actually chopped down two pine trees, we debarked them, and we made what we thought was a Tokonoma, and it really was wrong, okay? It didn't look like a Tokonoma, it just looked like we made an alcove. And I suppose maybe someone in Japan might have an alcove like that, but it wasn't the gym, the show. They have different types of Tokonoma designs. I have since learned a lot in those 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when a lot of people in America want to put a tree on a stand and put a scroll behind it attached to a curtain, it kind of makes my blood curl, like then Oki commented about my garden gate. It's really an incorrect application of Japanese culture, and it doesn't look right. To me, having a scroll hanging from a piece of fabric is just wrong. But at least it's a form of display, and anything goes, really, as long as you're happy with it. And when VSF asked me to be in charge of the display, I decided, well, let's do a creative display. Now, what does that mean? Like, what do you think a creative display means? You immediately started talking about props and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So because of our other headliner for BSF this year, we're fortunate to have Laurent, or I'll call him Lo, Darrow, doing Cosmic Bonsai. And he is always expressed using what we call props. I guess you're saying kind of like figures, or your shikusa is, instead of being traditional grasses, wildflowers, etc., he's using things like collectible figures that are made by a graffiti artist that he really enjoys. And it tends to make political and also confrontational type statements in his displays on purpose. And so he's using that medium of bonsai, but taking it and saying that, and me and Carmen, whenever she couldn't be with us today on this episode, but me and her have talked about this in the past, that American bonsai isn't necessarily even bonsai anymore. There are people who really push and they really, really want to do traditional style. Like, they want to do everything. They want to have Japanese pots. They want to have Japanese trees. They want to have a Japanese woodmaker make their stand. And those extreme aspects can be Japanese bonsai. And it's still adjacent because it's still American people taking care of those trees. So there's always been that debate, right? Whether or not we're actually doing Japanese bonsai. We're doing our own thing, just like, for instance, Walter Paul's doing German Expressionism, brushing the paint onto bonsai instead of trying to stick to a Japanese model, which is what I think is kind of happening here in America as well, because we have a lot of different ways that we can represent our own culture. And like I made sure to stress this whenever I was over in Florida a couple of weeks ago. I did a little tour where I ran through and I did the Sarasota and the Tampa Bay and Gainesville clubs. And And something I really leaned into was, look, I do bald cypress, water elm this way in Louisiana, but look how you guys do it here. And look at the differences there. I mean, we're 10 hours away from each other and we still practice bonsai with the same plants, completely different. So there is that argument that yes, our displays should also be varied and show the characteristics of cultural aspects, local woodworkers, local bonsai potters, local takes on, you know, on the, you know, maybe the political landscape of the area that you live in, not necessarily politics, but like the influence of what your environment, your ecosystem as a human being impacts you. And you should show those country or urban environments. And I think this is a very interesting movement and way to go about this, because yeah, it I feel like it also is going to break down those expectations, because a lot of people, like for instance, I'm pushing hard for my own show, Say Bonsai, here in Folsom, and I'm telling people, do what you want, be creative. You could do a traditional display if you want, but I don't want people to think, oh, I need the expensive stand, I need the expensive pot, I need to find a scroll. Because that stuff, yes, there is an expense, but I think that Southern bonsai especially is so DIY that we can come up with this stuff on our own, you know? Like when I made my trip through Florida, every time I went to someone's house, they didn't just do bonsai. They painted. They like to do woodworking and carving. They like to do ceramics of their own. I mean, I'm like, come on, guys, lift yourselves up and make creative displays with your own things. And that's kind of what I really enjoyed. Now, don't get me wrong. I even asked you this, Rob, whenever we first started talking yesterday a little bit, not yesterday, 2 days ago, because we had to move things around anyway, not relevant. But I was just like, can I also do a traditional style display? And you were like, yeah,
exactly. Well, let's talk about that. So
yeah,
first of all, I think when you were mentioning Law, you hit it on the head. Even though you said he likes to use props and all, he starts with an idea. And even when you design a bonsai tree, I think you should have some kind of idea, whether you want to do a traditional formal upright that looks like a tree somewhere, maybe in the sequoias or whatever, or you want to do a cascade, or you want to do a sea monster or whatever. So for a display, it's even more important. I always contend that display and bonsai are really two different things. Putting the bonsai tree on display is really a whole different set of skills than growing a bonsai tree. So if you start with a design concept, you'd have to realize too, there's two continuums working here. Number one is creativity is a continuum from quote traditional all the way to creative. And so that means that even though you quote, what is a traditional bonsai tree? Is it a tree in a tokonoma? Is that traditional? It's not traditional for me. Is it a tree that's just sitting in a garden? Is that traditional display? So there's some definitions. I think when you say you want to do a traditional display, you want to create something like a 2 or 3 point display with a tree on a stand and an accent plant, right?
Yes. And
so that is a form of creativity. So the accent plant that you pick and the design of the tree and the design of the pot, that all can be creative. If it's May 25th is when the convention is. It's at the Orlando Hotel in Orlando, Florida, which is attached to the Florida Mall. By the way, let me invite everybody to come, because when you hear about what we're going to do, I think you're going to want to see this exhibit. It's a great place for a show, because being attached to one of the nicest malls in Orlando, your significant other, if they don't like bonsai tree, can find plenty to do.
Yep. You can push them off to the side and say, you know what? You can go over there, go eat in the food court. I'm going to enjoy the bonsai show.
Well, it's more than it's a decent food court, but it also has a lot of nice stores.
It's a mall. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of an upscale mall. Anyway, it's a nice place to have a convention. The rates are very good for the hotel. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it's not as big as we would like. It's not the Orlando Convention Center, but it's adequate. And but the exhibit, I think, is going to be really special, because we are embracing the whole continuum of creativity. Traditional maybe on one side, from what I just said, all the way to something like not even using a static display. Let me just leave it at that way. I want to leave a little bit of suspense for the viewers, but we are really thinking outside the box.
So
But all types of displays are welcome as long as they evince some type of creativity.
Yeah. So let me kind of go into the classical-esque kind of thing just real quick so you hear it and you know where I'm coming from too, is that I am not a Japanese bonsai person. I am a American influenced by Asian culture and by the garden arts of Japan and China and so forth, you know. So I want to make sure that I'm not just painting the picture of the bonsai and the traditional setup. Like you said, that's really the straightforward look is the, you know, the 3-point or the 2-point. And what Rob means by that is your 2-point includes your tree on a stand with a shikusa, which is your accenting something. It doesn't have to be a plant. It could be anything. And then there's the 3-point, which includes those two elements plus the scroll. So a scroll hangs between those two elements and represents the sky or the background. And so what my traditional like display will actually be a native tree that grows my range. It's a bald cypress. No surprises there for our listeners. They hear me say that every single time.
They're cool trees.
Yeah, bald cypress. It's going to be in a Byron Myrick container. So there's another Southeastern reference. It's going to be on a stand that my grandfather made, he was a cabinet builder for like 50 years of his life. He knows woodworking. So it's be a classical piece of Americana. And then even the accent, the shikusa pot was made by Chuck Eicher, which is a Midwesterner, but you're in the club, Chuck. Don't worry. And then I use pitcher plants that I love pitcher plants with bald cypress, and they are also a Southeastern native to our range. And then on top of that, I go a step further with my scroll, and the scroll was made by a lady. Her name's Christy. You might have met her. She does a lot of scroll painting and makes her own scrolls from Dallas, Texas. So everything is specified. It has to be made here. I'm not going to buy any, you know, tchotchke type display tables or a little guy holding like the water jugs walking from the river, you know, mud man figure stuff. It's all true to form. And that's what I mean by like, that's still in that space of creative because it's representing a culture in the way that we would expect bonsai to be displayed. And then, of course, I have two other displays that I don't want to spoil. One I'm really excited about because it's just going to be fun to put together. And then another one's a little bit more involved because it involves another one of my friends. He is a big enthusiast about bonsai, but he also really loves Warhammer 40K, the war game.
Oh, okay.
And he is very, very good at painting Warhammer models. And I'm very excited about
it. Evan, you're getting me real excited.
Yes, and my buddy is really excited too. I mean, we're talking about a bonsai that's obviously going to be a little bit more cosmic themed, but the display and the elements of it will be what you would see at a game store, like a Warhammer nerd game store. It's kind of funny because I was like, I told my buddy Chase, he's one of our Boneside Best Bud subscribers. Told my buddy Chase, I was like, dude, what do you want to do? Tell me what minis you want to incorporate in this so it becomes a collaborative work. And other people know that have talked to me and listened to the show too. I'm also a big believer in collaborative works. And I mean, it's really cool because our previous episode to this episode that we recorded was with Aaron Packard of the Pacific Bonsai Museum. And he's talking about collaborative works and encouraging other peoples of other medium to come in and do their own thing. And that's another thing that I guess if you're listening to this episode, go back and listen to the one about Pacific Bonsai Museum and go look at how they have displayed trees, specifically, in the Artesian's Cup that Ryan Neal put on, can't remember when that was. That was a while ago.
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years ago now.
And that book that he printed for that show, go in there and look at what Aaron Packard put together for his displays of the trees from the museum. They're great. And so that kind of stuff is very creative, very American influenced, and in some ways pop culture influenced, which is another thing we can kind of talk about too.
Well, you hit on a lot, but you and I are directly in sync. So to go back to your Ball Cypress display about everything being Southeast America, America made, I love that. In fact, I did that at a national show. I did a Shohin display where everything was an American species in an American pot on an American made stand. I didn't tell anybody, but that was my hidden thing. So what's creative about that is you didn't just take a pot out of your or tree out of your collection, slap it in a stand and put it in the show. It might be a great tree. You gave it a lot of thought and you gave it some, there was some inspiration. You wanted to do Southeast. You had a vision. Then you use your imagination. It's maybe not the most innovative one, but it does have some innovation. And so those are the key aspects that it takes to create a creative display. Now, collaboration is also a great idea. One of the things that's different from this year as the chairman of the exhibit is I'm not being very static. That's not the way I am. Like I said, I've visited 12 clubs already and got two more to go, and actually 13 if you count Louisiana, the Bonsai Society of Louisiana. What is it, GNOBS, Greater New Orleans Bonsai Society, yeah. And by the way, it's an open invitation. If someone has a creative idea and they feel like they've been stymied, that they can't display it at these, quote, Japanese traditional shows, go to the Bonsai Societies of Florida, submit an idea, and if you have to be a member of BSF, but you can join BSF as a member of large, it's not that expensive. I think it's $15. And if you have a great idea, come on down to Florida. It's great in May. Summer is just starting. The weather's fantastic. There's plenty to do. Obviously, we have all the Florida attractions. We have golf courses, Disney World, shopping. It's a pretty neat place. But we're going to, afterwards, I plan to publish a book. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's another motivation is this whole display will be memorialized in a very nice book that'll be available on Amazon. But back to collaboration. You mentioned that you're collaborating with a friend on a Warhammer. As a side note, I used to work with the guy. I'm retired now, I think I told you. But he was so big into Warhammer that he would represent the United States in international Warhammer competitions.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome.
Yeah, Warhammer is what's keeping modeling alive, which I kind of like. So yes. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's a dying art.
Law and I are collaborating on an idea. He doesn't have a tree that he can bring, so he's using one of my trees. He stayed at my house, and I have sort of a cosmic-looking tree that I've been developing for 20 years, even before I heard of him. And he sent me two sketches. We decided on one. It's going to have a little political overtone, but I love it. And I'm making the props. I'm having a pot made. That's another concept about creativity is that you don't necessarily need the pot that the tree is growing in for a display. Classic example in Japan, in, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would say a large percentage of trees at the Kokufuten, which I've been to four times. I've been to Taikanten maybe four times. I've been to Japan a lot for shows. They rent, the bonsai professionals will rent pots to people for trees. Normally, they're the Chinese second crossing pots, I think they call them. And they will split pot them into that pot. So the pots, if you study a Taikanten book, which I have done, I have several of them, I look at them all the time. It seems like a lot of the trees are overpotted. And when by overpotting, I mean the pot's too big for the tree. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, it's probably because it was slip potted, because you can't always repot a tree in that season. And then the tree has to go back into its growing pot after the show. So that's a long way of saying, if you have an idea, like the concept that Law and I have, we're not using, even though it's in a nice pot, we're not using the pot that the tree is growing in. We're going to build a pot that fits the theme of the display. And in the past, I have made pots out of wood, which is not going to hold up long-term in a garden, but I've made them thinking of them as scenery for the display. So if your creative idea is you don't really like the pot it's in, then you can go beyond it. You can make whatever you want as part of this concept. Yeah. And I am, in addition to the collaboration with Law, I have been working with every single person. We've had quite a few submittals already. Every single person that has submitted a concept, I have interacted with them and we have made some suggestions because I can be pretty far out there in my thinking. And it's amazing. People say I have no creativity. I just grow a bonsai tree. I don't know how to be creative. So I normally, when I do my presentation, I do a workshop. And just like you said, you had the friend that liked warm. I said, what do you like to do? What are you interested in? What is something that is important to you or that you do as a hobby. And we go through and it's kind of like a brainstorm session. And you would not believe the ideas that come from that. There a person, one lady at one of the presentations just said, monkeys. I'm interested in monkeys. I said, okay, well, what can you do with monkeys? She says, I don't know, but I'm going to think about it. Or another person said music. So I said, ooh, now that's an interesting concept that very rarely have I ever heard music. I did it one time back in 2002 when we did the Florida convention. I was in charge of that exhibit. We use music and you have to keep it low because you don't want to interact with the
other displays and stuff.
Other displays, yeah. But we actually set up a separate room just for this. It was, let me just tell you, if I can tell you about that display, because that was kind of the genesis of what I'm doing now. And it took 23 years to make this change. Mm-hmm. I was in charge of the exhibit for the BSF show in 2002 when it was at Cape Canaveral. And the theme, since that's right next to the Space Center, the theme was Back to the Future. And no, not Back to the Future. It looked like Back to the Bonsai for Tomorrow. Sorry. The logo for the show looked like the Back to the Future logo, but it said Bonsai for Tomorrow. That was the theme. And we, and again, used that same tokonoma that we built because we didn't know what the heck we were really doing. And then we had another semi-traditional display. But then as you progressed, there was a U-shaped display. As you progressed through the display, the displays got more and more creative. Let's put it that way. We had some traditional on them. And then you made the turn. And then there was old architectural artifacts. We had a tree on the floor with just some stuff around it. And you ended by walking into this black room. Now, I didn't have a budget, and I'll get to the budget part later. And so to do it on the cheap, I didn't have Disney kind of money. Well, we just made a plastic room with black plastic, and we hung from it a tree that was growing on a rock, and you couldn't see the support. And then for some reason, my neighbor, who has since passed away, poor guy, he let me use his disco ball. He had a regular disco ball. And the concept was it was root over meteorite and you're leaving into the space because we're at the Space Center. And most people liked it. I got some negative feedback from the traditionalists. They just kind of view bonsai as an art of growing stuff in a pot. That's okay if that's what people want to do. And I always say, if you don't want to get creative, then there's always next year. But so that display went pretty well. We have some nice trees. We also did an outdoor display that year, too. It was the first time that BSF ever did it. The hotel had a beautiful pool. And so we built kind of like a garden display of bonsai in addition to that display that I told you about. It was pretty nice. But since we had such a limited budget, it really wasn't executed. That's why one of the main things that I've been doing for the last year is fundraising. And I set a goal, and I'm halfway to my goal. And some people have been very generous because they really espouse the idea. And if any of your listeners want to donate, they can go to the Bonsai Society of Florida webpage. There's a little button and you can just spend $15, whatever you're willing to contribute will be great because we do need to build some furniture and some scenery for this display. I just gave you a little teaser. When you walk in, you're going to be walking into a hallway, even though it's going to be in a big ballroom. And on the right will be two little windows. And those windows will have some creative displays. But you'll be looking at the end of the hallway at a Chinese scholar's room, because where did bonsai start? In China.
And, well, yeah, the original Pinjing and so forth. Yeah, go from China.
In fact, the more I learn about Chinese bonsai, the more interested I'm getting in it. And lignum, that's a whole nother topic. But, and I've uncovered, one of the other things I've been doing is I've been visiting gardens throughout the state and looking for nice trees and working with their owners to make them get creative. And I'm getting people that haven't displayed trees. They have great trees, but they haven't displayed in the convention because they just didn't have the real interest for whatever reason. And now they're starting to come out of the woodwork. And then you make a turn. Once you come to the Chinese scholar room, you're going to make a turn. And on your right is going to be an authentic tokonoma. It's going to have a magnificent Japanese black pine. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. And so what have we just said? We've just set the history of Japan. So I'm kind of replicating that idea from 2002, except we're going to do it with a little more money. And it's going to be, I think the execution is going to be a lot more professional. And then as you walk through the displays, there'll be some traditional, but they'll still be creative. And if you look at the form to apply, I'm giving people the option of using a table, like, which is normal, it's a 30-inch tall table, or you can do a freestanding display. And so far, it's been 50-50. Half of the people want freestanding. Some of the displays are going to be big. One guy requested 15 feet. I'm negotiating with him, so I'm not sure if that'll...
15 feet? What could that be?
I tell you what, I think people are going to need to come to Florida to see this display.
Yeah, that's insane.
With Law and with you and with me basically pulling the creativity out of the people of Florida, it's going to be something to remember. Let me just say this, okay? As I do my presentation, I ask people, what was the best thing? Who went to the convention 2 years ago? Like 10 people raise their hand. What was the best in show at that convention? This is supposed to be the best tree at the Florida show. Mm-hmm. And 300 people I've talked to, not counting the New Orleans crowd, not one could tell me which was the best in show tree from 2 years ago. I find that pretty interesting. By the way, 2 years ago, the best in show was my tree.
Okay.
But I mean, I remember because it was my tree. And I bet you if I asked them what was the best in show last year, they wouldn't know either. And awards is something I don't get too fired up about. In fact, I've been in a discussion with BSF leadership that I don't even want to give the traditional large tree, small tree, show and tree. That to me does not interest me. Bonsai is not a competition. It's about expanding your horizons and about communing with the trees, and they become your friends. I have this elm tree that I just posted on Facebook. That tree is my friend. I've known that tree. We worked together for 21 years.
Yeah.
And I view it as a friend. And
you're gonna look
so
at it.
To say that tree is better than that tree, I just think that's goofy. It's kind of the way humans are. We like to categorize stuff. We want to have a formal upright, an informal upright, a cascade. I guarantee you the trees have no idea what you're talking about. They have their own language. They want to do their own thing. But it's definitely a show that I think people are going to want to check out. There'll be a lot of vendors, and there'll be programs. I imagine you're going to be doing programs with Law, doing programs as well. And there's workshops. So it has all the typical convention stuff as well. And it's very affordable, too. It's probably the least expensive convention. BSF really doesn't make any money on the show. That's why I'm having to do some fundraising. So...
This podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
Hey guys, it's Evan with Underhill Bonsai, and I just wanted to tell you guys about Save Bonsai. It's going to be happening from March 28th to the 30th, 2025. We're going to be everything Louisiana for a full weekend, so we're going to include a crawfish boil, homemade gumbo, and other food trucks and vendors that are very special, I guess you can say, the southern culture of Louisiana. And also, the show will include a bonsai show with its own special awards, including Best in Show, Best Shohin, Best Traditional Design, People's Choice Award, and also a tongue-in-cheek Best Bald Cypress Bonsai Award. Guest artists and visiting artists will include Julian Tsai, Sylvia Smith, Mike Lane, Carmen Lesko-Bianski, Dawn Ketting, Randy Bennett, and Guy Guidry. Each artist will be presenting demonstrations and giving workshops throughout the weekend. You can go over to underhillbonsaistore.com and go under our Save Bonsai Workshops tab, and you can sign up for just regular attendance. It's going to be $25 just to get into the exhibit tent, and then all the workshops will be spaced out, and they will all have individual pricing. We hope to see you guys there.
Yeah, there's a lot to kind of think about there, like you said about I'm trying to figure out which direction to go with the conversation now, because we talked
I think the creativity is a good thing to talk about, because a lot of people that do bonsai maybe do bonsai because they view it as a craft.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Left, right, back, and they want to grow a tree and they're gardening, and they say, well, I'm not creative. But when you start probing them, for instance, what do you like to do other than bonsai?
Me personally?
Yeah, you personally. I'm using you as a guinea pig if you're okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that's kind of funny, is like other people, I was listening, like on the previous episode, referring back to that, because me and Aaron and Carmen, we're talking about personal collections at home, and they were like, how many trees you got at home? And Aaron's like, I've got like maybe two. And then Carmen's like, yeah, I'd rather leave work at work, because they're public collection curators. And I'm over here like kind of twiddling my thumbs, because I've got like over 50 trees, and my wife keeps giving me a hard time. Like, I work at a bonsai nursery, and now I've got 50 trees at the house. In addition to the plants that I do bonsai day in and day out. I mean, it's what I get up in the morning, think about all the time. I used to be interested in playing, well, I still do play occasionally, Magic the Gathering, the card game. And so I was really into that for a little while, but it's kind of hard for me to think about how to incorporate that into bonsai. I don't really want to. It's the kind of, and it feels a little too forced, in my opinion, if we did something like that. But I am very invested in what used to be called nerd culture. Now it's pretty mainstream, which would have been comic books, collectibles, Warhammer, video game culture. Not just like, I'm a video game guy, so I play Skyrim or I play Madden with my friends. Or no, I'm not that kind of look at that. It's more of, I grew up in, whenever I was in high school, I went through like the MySpace era, not the Facebook era. So MySpace was a different landscape for social media, and it created this really oddball millennial like view, like a lens. And that's the kind of stuff that I want to show. When I told you about there's one display I'm excited about, it is that nostalgia millennial kind of weird display. And it's influenced by art that I really enjoy. So I think one of my other sub-interests has got to be like, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, where I feel like Louisiana and the Southeast are DIY. I really enjoy outsider art and DIY artists. So a good example of that, if you guys are like, what in the hell does he mean by that? Art is art. Well, there's not. This is a subset of art. And one of the best examples I can think off the top of my head is a collective called Meow Wolf. Meow Wolf is based out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And if you go look up their fully immersive...
Yeah, I know what it is. They build these like installations, right?
Yeah. And for our listeners that are not aware of what that is, like their original one was actually funded by the guy who wrote Game of Thrones, because he thought, Martin thought it was such a cool idea that he funded them. And then they went out and they purchased an old bowling alley and they gutted it. And then they put a Victorian style two-story house in it that you can walk into, but then it's not just a house. Every time you step through the fireplace or the refrigerator or the washing machine, it's like a portal that brings you into a different world. And that style of like that multi-dimensionalism. And this is also seen in a lot of other, I would say adult cartoons such as Rick and Morty, Futurama. I love Futurama, by the way. If you have listened to the show, previous episodes, me and Carmen harp about how the newest Futurama seasons are super sad, but the old Futurama is where it's at. But anyway, Futurama, Rick and Morty, Gravity Falls, just all those adult oriented or, cartoons that can play with reality. I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. And a lot of the music I listen to as well, is kind of like, it's hard to explain. Like, I don't just listen to metal music. I listen to music that has a lot more of a sporadic, they call it math metal or math rock. I enjoy that kind of stuff. I like stuff with sudden changes, key changes. It's just, it's the way my brain works. It's stuff I enjoy looking at. So, that's why when I met Lowe, it's, his French is so thick. I can't tell if he's saying Lowe or Lowe.
Yeah. He tells me not to speak French with him, but
exactly. I don't try. I'm Cajun French. And he tells me that our Cajun French is terrible. And I'm like,
yeah, he told me my French was terrible too.
Yeah. So, but like when I met Lowe, I was like, you have kind of given me a little bit more of like, okay, I wanted to express some of these things, and now you have given me the guidance on how to do it. That was really cool, because if you listen to, we've had Low on two times on this podcast. Mike Lane interviewed him a long time ago when we were just like getting to know him. And then he hit his North American tour and he went home, and I interviewed him after he did that. And after me and him had some, we spent some quality time together. Let's just say that, meaning we had quite a few, beers and glasses of wine together, but, conceptualizing and talking together. And I was like, I remember one of the takeaways from that last conversation I had when he's back over here, I'm gonna have him on the show again, because it's gonna be really easy to have a clean recording with him. But I remember one of the things that I really liked him saying was, I don't do Cosmic Bonsai because I want you guys to copy me. He's like, I don't want to see space, other world stuff. You don't have to use the, you don't use the figures, the Ashley wood figures that he uses, the graphic comic book artist figures that he uses. He's like, don't do that. He's like, stop doing that. He said, the reason why I do Cosmic Bonsai is because I want you to tell a story. And he said, you like basketball? Make your display about basketball. I thought that was really funny when he said that. I was like, that would be a very interesting bonsai display. And he's like, but if you like fishing, if you like movies, if you like, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, take what that is and try to incorporate it into your design and don't stay so typical, you know. And that's where he is now. If you go look at his most recent conversations he's been having online, you can see how fired up he is about these things. And but anyway, so besides
well,
that,
you just went through a great exercise that if your listeners are thinking, I'm not that creative, they should hit pause and they should do exactly what you just did and say, what is it else that interests me and how can I integrate that? What kind of story can I tell with my tree? We had one of the Florida person say it's all about the trees, yet they had a display that related to a very traumatic personal event. And in that case, I can tell you that that wasn't about the tree. That was about their traumatic event. Mm-hmm. And that is telling a story. And by the way, that is traditional Japanese display. When you go look at Yamamoto's book, he says the goal of the display is to create a majestic natural setting that conveys that feeling. Now, that's just one goal, though, but that was the intent of that guy's whole concept of display. And they're limiting themselves to just trying to recreate nature. As you just said, we can go well beyond that. I get inspired by art. I get inspired by science. I've been inspired by entropy, the concept of entropy to me, the degree of disorder in the universe. I actually made a display about that at the Como Rebbe show several years ago in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that people should take a step back and say, what story am I trying to tell with my tree? And is it simple that I'm going to put a little oxalis weed with it to show that weeds in the garden are lousy? Or do I want to make a beach scene? One of the guys in Florida years ago, I think he went to the Nationals, had a buttonwood with a little rowboat washed up on the beach at the Nationals. And it was becoming a great little story. So it's what we're doing is not terribly new. People have been doing it for years. I've been doing it since 2002. There was a show in Indonesia it's 11 years ago. I went to it. I spent a week and a half in Indonesia. The first weekend was a very traditional tree on a stand, no scrolls, no accent plants, just really nice trees on stands. And it was a fine show. By the way, they do them outdoors, which is kind of weird because they get a lot of rain. And I was not too happy seeing all these beautiful wooden stands getting hammered by the rain. Then had a couple of days off. I traveled around Indonesia. Then I went over to Yogyakarta, where Robert Stephen had his, what he called Art Millennial. I'm not sure why he came up with that name. And they had about 400 creative displays. I got a lot of pictures of that. And now, I don't know if you heard, but in October of this year, so after the Florida convention, in China, there's going to be a creative display convention where they will plan to have, I hope you're sitting down, 1,000 creative displays.
Oh, okay.
And have you seen the one where Robert Stevens made he took the Saturday Evening Post cover where, what was his name? I'm having a senior moment here. It was the artist that covered all this. Norman Rockwell Okay. Norman Rockwell made a cover for Saturday Evening Post of him making a self-portrait. Well, Robert Stevens cut out the self-portrait, and you can look into the display, and you would see his tree, and Norman Rockwell was painting his tree. And that was the big display, and it was phenomenal.
Now, that's awesome.
Is Saturday Evening Post Indonesian culture? Is it Japanese culture? No.
No, it's American.
It was a mixture of an American culture with the bonsai tree, and it was done in Indonesia, which just blew me away. There were other ones. A guy made a camera about the size of a table, a single lens reflex camera. And when you look in the viewfinder, there was a real bonsai tree.
Yeah.
And every 10 seconds, the flash went off inside the thing, which was another phenomenal one. There was one that I didn't, even though I like golf, I didn't think it was all that great, but this guy had a massive golf ball pot. It was probably 18 inches across, and he had a tree, and he had a little golf. So the creativity doesn't just exist in the United States. It's all over the world. I can tell people Indonesia can do it. It's unfortunately one of the poorest countries in the world. They have a lot of people, yet they pulled off an incredible display. And I plan to go to China, assuming everything works out, to see this display, try to get on the program. But I may have asked to be invited too late because I think they got the ball rolling. But I'll probably still go just to check it out.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do in Florida. We're trying to get people to think a little bit outside the box. But again, creativity is a continuum. So you can do a traditional looking display, but it has a lot of thought behind it. That to me is creativity, as well as having trees flying through the air in a trapeze or something. Well, I'm not doing that, but who knows? Maybe someone will do that.
And so that's really awesome to hear that they did that display. And we were also saying, like in Indonesia, we're also saying that like this, we're not the first people to think about doing this type of display. I did want to bring up a few things that our listeners, if you're interested and you, and maybe you're someone in Florida that's like, what the hell do I do for this display? I want to kind of bring up a few artists that have done things in the past that you can go on your computer right now and just Google it really quick, and you'll see some really inspirational, different things that they have done. So first person I want to bring up, and a lot of people are very aware of him, is Nick Lenz. Nick Lenz was a pioneer and groundbreaker for creative displays. I mean, you've got classics like the one where he's got the lounging lady statue with the tree growing around her. You got the
Root Over Penelope, he calls it.
Yeah, you got the little mannequin figures with the pieces and the parts like hanging out in the plants. And then one of my favorite ones that I've seen, and people always go, why? What the hell was he thinking? Is he's got this one larch, and it's got Teletubbies. Like the little children's like dolls, Teletubbies, standing in a circle like they're doing a seance around the tree. And it's just such a jarring, weird looking thing. But it's like, but if you look at the tree is high level. The pottery that he made, he made his own pots. And I mean, that's one.
I had one. I had two, but I broke one.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. And he's got I'm looking at one here on the website listed. It just said it's a root over tank. It's like a model tank with a tree growing over it with the roots wrapped around it. And that says a lot more than you realize. And Nick Lenz did a lot of that. He pushed the level and his skill level. It was greatly expressed through just not like through bonsai, but his sculpture, his multimedia mixed media process and his skill. And so another person you can look at too is, I know he's a household name at this point, but Ryan Neal did a show called Spectrum, and that's where he went to, you can Google this one. It's on Bonsai Mirai's website. And he took just a regular art gallery space that you would see art displayed in. And he took, these big giant kind of like scroll pieces that drop from the ceiling, and then they would suddenly jut out and then drop to the floor with different color spectrums, and he put the trees on them. And that was just like, that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, it was so more creative showing the trees in spectrum, and they weren't on display tables. They didn't have shikuses or 3-point displays or anything. It's just that setup where people could go in and see the bonsai as if it was a high-end art gallery. That was a really cool show. And then one other show that you guys can check out, we just talked
to Aaron Packard on last episode. They did a display at the Pacific Bonsai Museum called Avant Garden, you know, like Avant Garde. If you look that up, by God, there's so much inspiration there. That was modern bonsai artists in the Pacific area, the Pacific Northwest. And you got people doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And then, and I think one of the biggest examples of that, I think this tree was on display in the Avant Garden. I don't know if it was or not, but it was also at the Artesian's Cup that we had mentioned formally, like a little bit earlier, was the, I think, I can't remember what kind of tree it is, but it's I think it's either a spruce or some kind of, I think it's a spruce, and it's planted in a vacuum cleaner.
No, that's a larch.
That was a larch.
David Crust's tree, yeah.
David Crust's tree planted in a vintage vacuum cleaner on a like cobbled together kind of felt like, it's just like a weird wood carved stand. And then the accent also was just as weird. But then you have this angel, this like little ceramic angel hanging from the vacuum. And people have said, this is the Der Champ. This is the Dada art of bonsai. And I disagree. I think the Dada art of bonsai, we're not there yet. This guy was just doing something that no one expected, but doesn't mean that, you know, obviously this has a little bit of a different look at it. Because, I mean, that's what Der Champ, if you guys are not familiar with art and art history stuff, Der Champ was the guy that put a fountain, a quote-unquote fountain in an art display, but it was actually a urinal, and it was very highbrow art. Scene and everybody was like, wow, this guy literally is giving us the middle finger. And that's not where we're at. There's nobody, well, some of Laurent or Lowe's cosmic displays are middle fingers to the public. So we're getting there, you know. The Ed Hoover vacuum thing, I think that's what they called it. The Hoover vacuum with the larch in it, it's not offensive in its message. It's only offensive to people who are like, that breaks that, they called it back earlier on whenever people started painting in the burlesque or the Brutus style of painting, where they were like, you're not trying to paint realism or beautiful figures anymore. You're just painting things chunky and quote unquote ugly. And that was an art movement. So I think it's not saying that we're creating an art movement by doing this BSF show, but we are exercising that muscle, I guess you
could
say.
Well, we're participating in it, yeah.
Yeah.
And David was a student of Nick Lenz, by the way.
Exactly.
He has quite a few of Nick Lenz's trees. It's too bad you can't have a larch in Florida. We'd invite him down.
Yeah.
there's a couple other artists, too, I'd like to throw. Like, for instance, a guy named Farad Bloch in Europe, he was doing creative displays 25 years ago. I remember he did something with barbed wire, and it raised a major outroar. But here's the shocker. They've done creative displays in Japan at the World Bonsai Convention in Saitama back, when did we go? There's at least 5 or 6 years ago. They had a lot of traditional displays. They did something really cool. They built a Japanese traditional house and a room of it from a traditional house, and they just put a bonsai tree in the middle of it. Now, that's not really traditional. Trees don't grow inside houses, but it was pretty cool. But then also in that show, they had a series of black pedestals and podiums with different types of trees arranged. I think Suzuki was behind that one. Mm-hmm. So even in Japan, that's not a monolith. People are doing all kinds of stuff. You get the Kato school or traditional display, but you also get people that do experimentation. I've seen a picture of a display where everything was red and the stands and the backdrops. And then I've seen beautiful tokonomas too. So again, we're Americans and we have lots of different cultural backgrounds and ideas that we can express, and we can use trees to express those ideas. And that's what this is all about. And just doing left, right, back branch is okay if that's your goal. Everybody is different. But if you want to try to tell a story, you have to go a little bit beyond that.
Yeah. Kind of tease out things that like for one of my displays, I was like, has anyone ever really thought about doing this before? And I was like, I didn't want to literally do it, but I took that concept of, I'll tell Rob later, I don't want to spoil anything. But
yeah, it's kind of hard. You got to keep it secret. So it's interesting for people.
Exactly. Yeah. If you set people up, I don't want to set expectations for displays. And that's another thing that's really fun about these is that they are, this is something that came in my brain. We were talking about it just a moment ago. It kind of formed and you was like, oh, that's a good point to make as we get towards the end of this conversation here, is that these are installations. And you made a really great point earlier about how you see a tree and it's in a pot that seems a little bigger than it should be when it's on public display or it's hanging out in the garden. And then it's transported to the show, pot it into the show pot that they want it to be in. And then when you see that tree, it looks perfect. The moss is all done correctly. The trunk is clean. Every branch, every shoot is clipped perfectly. Every cloud, every spacing between the flow, and you can see the windows in the trunk line going to the tree. And Japanese shows like that, you're like, man, these trees are perfect all the time. It's not reality. It's an installation. So art installation is show up, deco the area that you're going to put your art into. And it's not permanent. It may last. I mean, there are art displays that are installations that last for months or a year, depending on the space. Obviously, bonsai, we can't keep the trees inside for a month because then we would be real sad at the end of it. But there might even be an argument that you could, at the expense that you're willing to make a sacrifice. But, you know, that would also be a jarring thing. People would say, why would you like intentionally do something like that? You know, but it's something we have to kind of think about too, is how far are you willing to push at the expense of creating art? And obviously for bonsai, traditionally it's about 3 days that we do a show. We put our trees inside of a building and we put them on display, and it's extremely stressful for these plants. Oh, yeah. So especially
a lot of the tropical trees in Florida will defoliate themselves after the show, and they don't like the air conditioning.
Whenever I brought my water elm up to the last nationals in Rochester, the tree looked amazing on the way there. It was full. The leaves were dark green. It was in the middle of its summer flush. It was having a great time. And that nationals was so well attended that it was so hot in there that my subtropical temperate zone plant was like, what the hell is this? And it dropped all of its leaves. So it defoliated itself on the way home. It came back, it survived. But yeah, it's extremely stressful for these plants to travel.
I had the same thing happen at the St. Louis show about 18 years ago. I put an elm, a Florida elm, in the show. And second day, I'm cooking in an airplane and I put it in the cargo hold. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the cargo hold gets down to maybe minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. And the tree froze. That's the second day of the show. It starts losing all its leaves. I'm like, what the heck? But it lived. It just went through a quick winter. So I just to recap, I'd like to invite everybody to either think about putting in a display, or if they don't put in a display, come on down to Florida, enjoy the show. Or if you can't make it to the show, then when the book comes out, maybe you can buy the book. I'll let you guys know when it's available. Speaking of books, I haven't made any progress on my other book, Evan, A Spark, because I've been too busy doing this display stuff.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know about stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'll projects. Get to it. I found that retirement does not mean you have a lot of free time. You just get busier. Nope. Just don't get paid.
Yep. You have all the time to do with stuff that you have been waiting to do. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, I have too many things I want to do.
I know. I'm rebuilding my bonsai garden. I put in a big stone wall. I got rid of the pedestals because, again, back to the display of bonsai, your trees spend most of the time in the garden. Make your garden the best possible. Even if it's four little trees on pedestals, make it a neat little place where you can go and sit down and contemplate your navel and enjoy your friends.
Yep.
So I want to thank you. I mean, that's pretty much it. I want to thank you for having me. And I really look forward to your displays and working with you with them. And like I said, it's a collaboration. So if there's something that you need or any that other viewers or contributors need that they can't bring with them, like Law can't bring this stuff with them, I'm going to be providing it for him under his guidance. Let me know, because that's what I'm doing with all the people. I'm making it a collaboration. It's a little bit different than in the past where you just submit a picture to a juried exhibition. I'm really trying to help people explore what they can do possibly with their trees. And For instance, there was a lady last weekend. We were at we had a big auction, and we were talking about her display, and she likes to do a certain thing. And in the process of talking through, she mentioned she had some other things, and we came up with a really neat little display that's going to reflect something that she likes that uses one of her trees. So collaboration, even just talking to me about the idea is a key part, and something that's different than what we've done in the past. It's not just submit a picture to a black hole. Let's work together to make the best possible installation. I like that idea. What we're doing is an installation.
Yep. It's not, like I said, it's not permanent. Like we said earlier, it's at the expense of the plant. And you told a good story. It's like you put your tree on an airplane, and that tree was almost a sacrifice in the display.
I didn't do it intentionally. I'm not a tree murderer. I killed a lot of bonsai trees, but not intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. We work on these trees for years, and then we think about this thing that we want to do. And sometimes mistakes are made or things that we don't foresee. And yeah, plants are impermanent. Trees are impermanent. And that's a good way to take away from it too, is like, if you're going to do your display, do it. And if something goes wrong, your tree loses branches or something dies back, then you can use that as a memory that the tree had. I love that too. But we could talk about dynamics and bonsai development stuff on later episodes, like we have in the past. But yeah, thanks for hanging out. Like we always do, the shout outs at the end. But I feel like this whole episode was partly just a creative display conversation, which is great. We haven't. It's something that me and Carmen, unfortunately, Carmen couldn't be here for this one, but she wants to dive into the world of pop bonsai. That is kind of what we're talking about. So this is kind of like a good prerequisite to the Florida show. If you guys are doing, say, bonsai, I know there's a lot of people I've talked to who are interested in that show. And if you're driving up to my show, thank you so much. And you can test pilot those creative displays at, say, bonsai. That was something I wanted to stress in the beginning, was I'm not holding people to a traditional model either in my show. It's free range. I want to see what everybody's doing. So yeah, say bonsai, March 28th, 29th, and the 30th in Folsom, Louisiana. And then of course, BSF, Bonsai Societies of Florida. Their state convention is in May. What was the exact dates on May again?
Memorial Day weekend. I think it's the 25th and somewhere around there. I don't remember exactly.
Okay. So look out, just go look online. The convention is posted on there.
23rd to 25th.
There you go. The 23rd to the 25th for BSF 2025. I will be headlining, and Darrow will be headlining as well. And like Rob said, there will be plenty of demos. I will be doing demonstrations. Me and Lowell actually have a partnered demonstration that me and Adam Levine dreamed up. It's going to be a lot of fun as well. So yeah, it's going to be a really exciting weekend with critiques and workshops and all kinds of other events that the convention always brings with it.
Including Club Night. Club Night is something they do in Florida where the clubs do some type of bonsai or display on Saturday night, and it's normally a lot of fun. There's a lot of heckling and drinking and camaraderie. We're the only society that does that I'm aware of, but I'd love to see. And by the way, if you go to the BSF webpage, my email is up there. You can contact me on Facebook if you want to be involved, or if you just have questions and like to talk about it, drop me a note. I'd love to share your ideas with you.
Yep. And then also, just in addition, real quick, wrapping us up, if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. This would be a weird episode to step into, but welcome. But if you want to check out more content from me, you can go over to underhillbonsai.com and see articles that I've written. You can go over to Underhill Bonsai on our YouTube channel and see videos that I've created about basically working on Southeast materials for bonsai. And then you can go over to, of course, our Instagram and Facebook pages under the same name and follow us there for updates on events that we're going to have and workshops and whatnot. For Mike Lane, you can go over to ketsunebonsai.com and go check out what Mike has to offer. He does a lot of online teaching, a lot of traveling and teaching. He does on-site work. He'll go to people's homes and work on their personal collections. So if you're interested in that, you go to Ketsune and contact Mike there.
And then for Carmen Lesko-Viensky, you can go over to Becoming Bonsai on Instagram. You can also check her out on her regular socials under her name, Carmen Lesko-Viensky, on Facebook. And then, of course, she is the one of the founders, along with her friend Sam. They founded the Purple Pot Society, the Women's National Bonsai Society. And you do not have to be a woman to sponsor that group. You can be either or, whatever you choose. If you want to support women in bonsai, you can join their club as well. So please do. So yeah, thanks for hanging out, Rob. And for our listeners, we will talk to you guys on the next one.
All right, goodbye.